Well, Noor, thank you very much. To David, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today, and thank you for the invitation to me to speak at your conference. It's a cold and dreary morning, but a great morning for Queenslanders. I'm talking to Greg Meek before about a very successful conclusion last night, which wasn't mentioned by any of the two previous speakers, even though I was assured by the first that he was a Queensland supporter, so let me get that formality out of the way right up front. Over the course of this conference, my ministerial colleagues will speak to you in detail about developments in their particular areas of responsibility. But this morning I wanted to give you a broad overview of how this year's budget is addressing many of the challenges that face our country today. In particular, I'd like to focus on how the government has used the 2007-08 budget to tackle a whole range of issues flowing from the changing demographic profile of the Australian population, and secondly, the challenge of securing Australia's prosperity into the future through meeting infrastructure and environmental demands. In other words, the human and physical infrastructure to ensure that we can continue to grow and prosper as a nation throughout the 21st century. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2007-08 budget, the government's 12th, has been another important step in that process. That budget provided for underlying cash balance surpluses of around 1% of GDP over the forward estimates period, and for further improvements in the Australian government's balance sheet. The government's sound fiscal management has eliminated net debt, which stood at $96.3 billion when we came to office in 1996-7. And it's seen the establishment of the Future Fund to meet outstanding Australian government superannuation liabilities by 2020. As a result, the government has ensured that the current generation is not passing on these financial burdens to future generations. The dividends on the solid economic management that we've had in place over that period allow us to commit sufficient resources to meet the challenges that we face not just today but over the next decade and beyond. Your President has recently spoken about the need to protect Australia against the economic tsunami of population ageing. Australia, like all developed countries, is having to deal with the consequences of people living longer and having fewer children. As the 2002 Intergenerational Report noted, this will put pressure on future budgets to deliver greater spending on health and aged care in particular. It will, though, also pose a challenge to the future standard of living in this country with less workers coming into the economy. CEDA, of course, has been very active in the public debate on the demographic challenge, and I congratulate your organisation in particular for that very worthy contribution. The government, the federal government, is addressing the economic challenges of the ageing population through a variety of ways. Through, of course, boosting population growth, increasing workforce participation, and increasing productivity. The policies we've put in place over the last few years are already working. The Intergenerational Report of 2007 found that the long-term fiscal sustainability has improved since the first iteration of that report in 2002. However, the ageing of our population still continues to pose substantial challenges for economic growth and indeed future budgets. David Parker, the Executive Director of the Economic Group at the Treasury, will be delivering a presentation on the Intergenerational Report in the afternoon, and he will give you some more details. But there's clearly much more that needs to be done. And the 2007-08 budget continues with initiatives to improve these three drivers of economic growth, as I say, population growth, labour force participation and productivity. So please allow me a moment to talk to each of them in turn. The government is supporting population growth through assistance to families and increased skill migration. The government continues to improve assistance to families through the maternity payment, which will increase to $5,000 on the 1st of July 2008, and substantial family benefits. This assistance helps to make the decision to have children more affordable and so supports more Australians to have children. We know that in 2006 the number of births was the highest since 1971. Migration, in particular skilled migration, provides many benefits to Australia, including boosting labour supply, which is crucial in sectors with labour and skill shortages, and helping to offset some of the effects of an ageing population, because many of those people who will come to our country are younger than the resident population. In this year's budget, the size of the migration program was increased by 8,800 to a maximum of 152,800 places. Of those additional places, about 5,000 were migrants into the skilled stream and 4,000 were in the family stream. Lower taxes boost work incentives by increasing the returns to work, thereby improving the prospects of labour force participation. The 2007-08 budget lifts the thresholds and increases the low-income tax offset to cut personal income tax. The changes represented in this budget by the government mean that people will not pay tax effectively until they start to earn beyond $11,000, which is a particular incentive for lower-income workers or people returning to the workforce to increase their time in the workforce. These tax cuts, of course, build on tax cuts we've been able to provide now over five budgets. The overall effect, though, has been to deliver significant reductions in tax for all Australians. Only 2% of taxpayers now have to pay the top marginal tax rate of 45%, and over 80% of taxpayers face a top marginal tax rate of 30% or less. This is great incentive for more Australians to enter the workforce and for those already in the workforce to participate more. It's easy to forget that when we came to government in 1996, the top marginal tax rate cut in at $50,000. And the common cry at that time was that there's no incentive for workers to work an extra hour because each hour that they worked, each dollar that they earned beyond that $50,000 went, half of it went in tax. Today, ladies and gentlemen, from the 1st of July this year, under this budget, that income tax threshold will increase to $150,000 and go to $180,000 from the 1st of July next year. The taxation reforms have to, though, be looked at in concert with the government's welfare to work reforms, which have been significant. One of the ways to increase participation in the workforce is to tap into those sections of society which have previously been unrepresented in the labour market. And that is one of the prime reasons the government has required single parents whose youngest child has started primary school, as well as people with mild disabilities, to work to the extent that they're able, to provide people to work to their capacity, to improve their lifestyles, their economic lifestyles, but also their mental and physical outcomes, and that is a significant change put forward by the Howard government. Meanwhile, for older age groups, work incentives will be enhanced by the superannuation reforms announced in last year's budget and coming into effect in the 2007-08 financial year. It includes, amongst other measures, as you're aware, removing the end tax of 15% for people over the age of 60 from the 1st of July this year who are drawing down money from a superannuation fund by way of pension or lump sum if they're over the age of 60. Now, what does this mean for people in the age bracket of 55 to 60 who are approaching retirement? It means that there is an incentive for those people to remain in the workforce to end up with tax-free benefits post the age of 60. Can I mention as a general point that all of our superannuation reforms introduced by this government, including most recently, as I say, the simpler super reforms, have been aimed at boosting retirement savings of Australians as well as increasing participation. But this makes people less reliant on government support in their retirement. Turning to a younger demographic, access to affordable, high-quality childcare is, of course, also a key in participation decisions, particularly for sole parents, mothers of preschool-aged children and low-income parents. The 2007-08 budget built on the government's long-standing commitment to help families meet their childcare needs. The government has spent $1.9 billion over 5 years on increasing the childcare benefit to make childcare more affordable for more families and to provide for more timely provision in relation to the childcare tax rebate. This is on top of the almost $2 billion that we spend each year in childcare at the moment. Overall, childcare places have increased from around 300,000 in 1996 to around 600,000 currently, and by 2009, we estimate that figure to be 700,000 childcare places. Facing the demographic challenge is not just about increasing the number of workers, but of course also about making them more productive. Education has had a key role in the success of the Australian economy to date and will continue to underpin participation in productivity in the workforce. To help position Australia's education system for the future, in this year's budget, the government provided $3.5 billion for Australia's schools, for vocational education and training institutions and universities through the Realising Our Potential package, a significant package. In addition, the government delivered an unprecedented $5 billion investment in the university sector through the Higher Education Endowment Fund. This will fund infrastructure and research facilities in Australia's universities. The government also intends to make future capital contributions to the fund, reflecting our commitment as a nation to quality higher education and the contribution the sector will make to lifting Australia's productivity over time. Ladies and gentlemen, the government's workplace relations reforms are directed squarely at increasing participation, increasing productivity, and delivering to workers higher real wages. Sound economic practices and management over the course of this government and workplace relations reforms have delivered outstanding results. Real wages have grown by almost 20% since March of 1996. Over 2 million jobs now have been created in our economy, and that has provided real and definite outcomes, good outcomes for families in particular. The unemployment rate has fallen to a low that we haven't seen in over three decades, and we believe it can go even lower. The reforms provide a national regulatory framework for Australian workers, and they offer flexibility and choice not just for employees but for employers as well. The choice and flexibility is essential for meeting the current work and family needs of Australian working women and men. The government's reforms provide a removal of the barriers to workplace bargaining whilst maintaining a robust safety net. And this safety net has been strengthened with the introduction of the Fairness Test. Legislation to put into effect the Fairness Test was tabled in Parliament on the 29th of May this year and applies to all new agreements made on or after the 4th of May this year for employees with incomes less than $75,000 per annum. So, ladies and gentlemen, our budget this year really has been about locking in the gains of the last 11 years. They've been about building on the reforms that we've introduced into the budget, into the Australian economy over that period of time, to make sure that we can lock in for the future the prosperity that we're enjoying today. The human infrastructure, though, of course, is only part of the response. We also need to ensure that the physical infrastructure is sufficient to support future growth, and the provision of adequate infrastructure where not addressed through private sector investment is primarily the responsibility of each of the state and territory governments. That said, though, of course, the Australian government is actively pursuing a range of initiatives to promote efficient investment in infrastructure, and importantly, it's also committed substantial funds towards infrastructure investment in our country in areas of federal responsibility. In this year's budget, the government has allocated funds for investment in a range of sectors, including road and rail transport, ports, infrastructure, water and telecommunications. The infrastructure highlight of this budget, I think, is undoubtedly the $22.3 billion for road and rail over the 5 years from 2009-10, including $19.1 billion under its second AusLink National Land Transport Plan. Under AusLink 2, the federal government will invest $16.8 billion on the AusLink National Network. This will provide the link between Australia's major population and economic centres and underpins the nation's productivity by facilitating the efficient and safe movement of people and freight internationally, nationally and between regions. In telecommunications, the investment continues with our recent announcement to augment the Broadband Connect program by providing $162.5 million for the Australian Broadband Guarantee. The Broadband Guarantee will primarily benefit Australians living in regional, rural and remote areas, many of whom have not had access to broadband services in the past. However, a number of areas on the outskirts of major metropolitan areas will also benefit from the guarantee, and the government has much more to deliver in this particular area. None of the investment, though, in human or physical infrastructure matters unless we ensure that our environment continues to support our economy and our society. The federal government has responded to the dire circumstances of the current drought by announcing the National Plan for Water Security in January this year. That was a $10 billion plan which was spread over 10 years and presented a bold new policy approach to sustainable water management that will seek to address difficult water issues facing rural Australia by improving irrigation efficiency and over-allocation. While this package represents the largest single water funding commitment to date, the Commonwealth Government remains committed to promoting water efficiency more broadly. I might say today that through the first two rounds of the Community Water Grants Program, the Government has provided $132 million to fund 3,288 community projects around the country. These grants assist communities to save, to recycle and to improve the health of their local resources. The 2007-08 budget includes a further $201 million in funding to extend what has become a very valuable program in the community water grants area. Just as the government has been responding in a practical and responsible manner to water crisis, so have we been responding to climate change. The government is committed to addressing climate change while maintaining a strong and competitive economy. This commitment has been reflected in the government's Low Emissions Technology Development Fund, which is already driving the development of solar and clean coal technologies, and the government's participation in the Asia-Pacific Partnership on Clean Development on Climate. The 2007-08 budget continued the government's responsible approach with a range of measures costing $741 million over 5 years to reduce emissions and to prepare Australia for the consequences of climate change. These measures include, as many of you might be aware, allowing tax deductibility for the costs of establishing qualifying carbon sink forests, helping to protect the world's forests with $197 million over 5 years for the Global Initiative on Forests and Climate. A further $150 million will be provided over 5 years to accelerate the installation of solar panels on homes and on schools, and significant resources for research, including $126 million over 5 years for an Australian Centre for Climate Change Adaption and $103 million for the CSIRO Climate Adaption and Energy Research Flagships. Further to these measures, the government has received and released the Joint Business Australian Government Task Force on Emissions Trading. The task group was required to advise on the nature and design of a workable global emissions trading system in which our country would be able to participate and additional steps that might be taken in Australia consistent with that. A key finding of the task group was that it was in our interest to develop a domestic emissions trading scheme, and accordingly, on the 3rd of June, the Prime Minister announced that Australia would move towards a domestic cap and trade emissions trading system beginning no later than 2012. So, ladies and gentlemen, the critical issues of water security, of climate change, of infrastructure development and demographic change facing Australia vie with each other for our attention. The government has been working to address these challenges for a long time, and these efforts are already bearing positive results. The 2007-08 budget really builds on all of that. The budget this year was a process which for many of us started in last October and concluded at the end of April. It's an arduous process. It's a trillion-dollar economy that we run in this nation now. We have spending measures of about $235 billion, and we work line by line through each of those departmental submissions, and we come up with a budget each year which we think is in the national interest. We run an economy at the moment which is world-class. We are the envy of many other developed nations around the world, and we should be very proud collectively as a nation where we are today. But can I make the point in closing today that it is a finely tuned operation? It is an operation, a budget that's put together, an economy that is run and that could be at risk if people are put in charge of the economy that don't have the experience and the understanding of the way in which our economy interacts with business in particular. This is a crucial point, as Lenore Taylor pointed out before, in our country's history. This government has proven over the last 11 years that we have the capacity to provide better outcomes, not just for business, but importantly for Australian families as well. We are committed to improving the strength of the Australian economy over the decades to come, and I thank you very much for being a part of this important process today. Thank you.